Modern Black Man podcast.
Now, this was cool. Talked to my homie about the modernblackman.com, caught up on a few things, and I hope that you have had a chance to go on our website.
And welcome to another episode of the Modern Black Man podcast. This is a really special episode because I think this is going to be pretty genuine from a person that I trust. What up, man?
What's up, man? I hope you trust me.
it's hard to really have people that you believe, and then it's even harder to have people you believe in. And you feel me?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, man, I'm good to tap in with you. I think that you and I are actually going to be creating something pretty good here on another platform. But I wanted to get with you on this platform and just kind of check in, see how you doing, and let you know about how busy I am lately. Like, I'm blessed, man. Like, I got about 4 or 5 projects that are paying me to not discuss the details of the projects that are paying me. That makes me...
I mean, if you getting paid 5, I want that job.
You know what it is. Always working, man. And it's, you know, I don't know how sustainable it's gonna remain, but I'm committed to this path, and I think you are someone that I can actually talk to about this because it's entrepreneurial. I think a lot of people in the internet, like, they talk all this wild stuff about this consistent entrepreneur that I don't think exists. I think that's kind of where we get misled as a culture. It would be nice to tap into the side hustle and for it to always pay me $20 an hour, 40 or however many hours I can consistently work in a week. But it doesn't work like that for me and my hustles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
You know, I think all of us work hard, and it's such a blessing for those anchors and those seeds to germinate, to grow. And like I said, and you know, as far as the world goes, it's interesting time. Our elders always told us, they've been saying it's the end of time for the last 70 years.
Well, I mean, they weren't wrong. It's been the end times ever since the seventh day. So the day God rested, you know, was the day that the time of man started. So ever since that day, or that moment when he rested from his creation, or creating rather, we've been, you know, counting down till the last days. Now, the last days, in terms of what our elders have been talking about, is everything that has happened ever since the Holy Spirit came on the scene for his ministry after the Son left. And ascended to heaven after his ministry. So that's a brief synopsis of what that means. So they're not. It's just I think it's just because it's a very exciting time now that Israel is finally a nation again. So now ever since that's happened, you know, the rapture could happen at any moment because of that.
Man, so as you know, so many people in the time that we're in, they feel as if the lessons, the wisdom, and the scruples of what you're saying are outdated. Ethically, morally, they may feel it's defunct. And I don't ignore this. I, however, have an observation that remains pervasive in that observation is that we are adapting everything for the world. Mm-hmm. And I think this does come really closely to suggesting the end of times, because when the king no longer reigns supreme, I think we know who.
Yeah, well, I heard. I've kind of been, you know, just like kind of watching what's been going on nowadays, and you know, when you really think about it, we've come to the time where, if you pay attention to, I think that's Romans 1:18, I believe. If you pay attention to that and you see what Paul was seeing and what he was describing in terms of what the world would look like when we would know for a fact that God has taken his hand off of America, right?
Wait a minute. You're saying Romans 1 predicted America?
No, I didn't say that. I never said that. That's not what I said. Let me rephrase so nobody is misunderstanding what I'm saying. What I'm saying was, and if you look at Romans 1, you can look at a time or a representation of what Paul was looking at in terms of how God looked at the world, or how God looked at a certain group of people, and he had made a decision to let them go into their ways and just let them be, right? He takes their hand off of them, right? And I'll just read a little bit of it, okay? Because I don't want, I'm gonna read this from the New Living Translation just so that we don't get a bunch of these, thous, and nobody understands what I'm saying. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth. Remember that part, who suppress the truth, okay? By their wickedness. So what do you see nowadays in terms of people suppressing the truth? Like, you brought it up. You said that how people pretty much ignore what I was talking about and saying that it was outdated, right? Saying that something as moral as thou shalt not kill is an outdated concept. Somebody, thou shalt not steal is an outdated concept. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife is an outdated concept. It's kind of hilarious how somebody can look at, you know, something as simple as let's just say the Ten Commandments themselves and find any of those 10 outdated, right? They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. So things that we always say that, you know, that we can look at nature, we can look at the distance we are from the sun, knowing that if we were just an inch away or more from the sun, that we would freeze to death. If we were an inch closer to the sun, that we would burn completely, right? Or the fact that we know for a fact, even with science, that the universe had a beginning, right? You look at those things and you have to say that it took an intelligent mind to make these things. It didn't just happen, right? It didn't just come into being. Like, anybody with some sense could just come to that, you know, that realization. They don't really have to even serve the God I serve to make that inference, right? For ever since the world was created, I just said that, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. Now, I just talked about that, right?
Yeah.
His eternal power and divine nature.
You're still in Romans. You're still in Romans.
I'm still in Romans, yeah. Romans 1:18.
Okay.
So they have no excuse for not knowing God. By not knowing God, what they are simply saying, what Paul is simply saying, is that they have no excuse for pretending that there is no God, or that they have not met the God of the universe, the one that when he had went, I can't think of the city that he had went into, but he had went into this one city and he had saw a monument to every god that they knew, right? Now, the God of the Bible, it referred to as the God that is unnamed, right? And he went and talked to the crowd about that specific God, and he kind of got really sarcastic about it, right? Because, like, how do you not know this one? He's the one that created everything. He's the one that, you know, for a fact, pulled the Israelites out of Egypt, right? He's the one that, you know, for a fact, flooded the earth. Right. Like, I mean, these are things that even now you can look at Aztec history and you can see that they knew that they were even aware that the world flooded at some point. I mean, I don't care what corner of the world you look at. If you look far back enough in their history, you'll find a time where they're talking about the world flooding.
Well, absolutely. Right. It's a scientific fact that the world was covered in water. Right.
Right. So. So that's essentially when we talk about the last days, what we're talking about is that time where you know for a fact that God has literally taken his hand off because we've gotten so wayward in our ways to the point where we're even pretending that he doesn't exist. Right? Like we've gotten so smart that we're pretending that the world came into existence by sheer chance. By sheer chance. I mean, because when you think of if you talk about the Big Bang itself, that's a chance. That's a chance in a, I don't even know the number that one rock hit.
let's talk about the Big Bang briefly. I believe that there are so many coincidences, happenstances, overlaps when it comes to science and theology. The Big Bang is one of them. I think that God speaking is that inexplicable, unexplainable event that we attribute as the Big Bang. I absolutely believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that because it can't be explained. And then further, we talk about the particles, the atoms, and the materials that come from, I'm not a scientist, but loosely fusion, right? What happens when stars collapse, et cetera, et cetera. In science, when we can't explain it, we call it the God particle. So there are so many entanglements between science and theology, I think we would be foolish to separate them. But at the same time—
You don't have to. That's the funny part. You don't really have to.
Sure.
Many people say that theology is the mother of all sciences. So, that's an interesting concept that I think that, you know, a lot of people don't like try to ignore when I'm not even talking about. I mean, if I wasn't even talking from a biblical standpoint, which I try to always be, you won't find a history of science that doesn't develop from a mind that was completely aware that we didn't just come into existence. Like I don't care how far back in time you go. You can go to the Renaissance. If you look at Renaissance scientists, you look at Renaissance artists, these people were completely aware of God's existence.
Friedrich Nietzsche is someone that maybe didn't have this predilection, but that's an interesting point that you make. No one existentially feels that we just appeared.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, I think the basic question that you have to ask yourself, outside of anything else, is if you believe that, then you shouldn't be afraid if I take a gun and shoot you in the head. Like you shouldn't be at all afraid because life has no meaning if that's true. If life has no meaning, then nobody should be bothered if I take a gun and shoot anybody in the head because their life is meaningless.
Life has no meaning. Well, isn't that, and that's the crazy part. People are going to try to say that is subjective and we're making an objective standard. meaning for life. The fact that there is life gives it meaning to me.
Well, the basic question is who gives it that meaning? Who gives it?
Oh, glory be to God! But before no, society exists. I'm saying separately.
I feel what you're saying. I'm saying if we were looking at it from that standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. Playing devil's advocate. I think that's the terminology I want to use. But if we're going to play devil's advocate, the question that we have to ask ourselves, if life has meaning, if life has value, who determines that? Who determines whose life has value and whose life has meaning?
Ultimately, man.
Okay.
We say that these laws come from God and they're God-given doctrine, God-given rights. Ultimately, it's man and judge.
Okay, so if man decides that man's life has meaning, then why is abortion legal?
Why is the death penalty legal? There's duality.
And I never said it was okay to kill anybody.
Sure.
I'm just simply asking. Okay, so I mean, you can put the death penalty in that conversation. You can put taking somebody off of life support in that conversation. How can you determine the validity of value in somebody based on the stage of life? If I decide my value, when do I get to decide my value? Because if it's legal to abort a kid, that means that kid was not allowed to decide their value. Does that make sense?
That's so deep that I'm not going to open up the can of worms. I'm going to say one thing before it come back. No, I'm not going to say that one thing because I think that you know that it only inevitably opens up another can of worms. But I do think that as a society, life has to be valued in others, and we won't take value in others until we show appreciation for others. So I want to do my part, and I want to do more, and I want to celebrate people that are not me. And as a compass, I'm using Christ. But that's separate, because everything that I celebrate and endorse is not Christ. As you know, the flesh is a weakness, but it is not an eternal one.
That's a fair statement. I mean, I don't know how that's
being real. I'm just being real because it's like I really am investing in seeing how invested I am in beyond this stage. And I'm afraid because I'm acknowledging that, because I'm accepting that. It's not a transition. It's knowledge that I know that I want to be more open with. That's all. Like that. And with that being said, Person Christian is going to do an amazing recording on Tives here pretty soon. I'm very excited about that. And before we break, did you have anything that you wanted to promote or share?
Not necessarily promotion. I'm not big on anything outside of, you know, people giving their life to the Lord if they haven't by now. Yeah, I really can't think of anything else to promote.
Man, I can't wait to have our next conversation. I am grateful for this conversation because you already know, man, I think this is the time right now. All the things that are going on in our world, we need to have opportunities for honesty, and we need to have platforms that showcase these things and these people.
Yeah.
Thank you for being one of them.
Sure.
Until the next episode, peace.